this morning, get ready, because the Lord, I believe, has a word for every single one of you. My friend and my brother, all the way from Springfield, is here with us, Jimmy White. Of course, you guys know Jimmy. This is Jocelyn's father. He's been with us on a couple times before. Jathan, great to have you with us here this morning as well, his son. I know he's got a word for us. We appreciate his heart. He works out of the national office. He travels across the United States. He works in the men's ministries office as our discipleship director. I say he's our discipleship pastor because he brings such a good work each and every week. Every single weekend, every Sunday morning around 7 o'clock in the morning, he sends a text to a bunch of brothers, and I appreciate that text that we receive. It's always timely. Appreciate his heart, appreciate his passion, and I appreciate the timely word that he is going to share with Coweta Assembly of God today. Would you give him a warm welcome as he comes?
Amen. In the Lord good. Wow, what a great weekend for part of us anyway, right? That live near Norman. Oh, you were going south. Okay, the Cowboys, yeah. Yeah. My wife's from Arkansas, and, you know, she always gives me a hard time about cheering for them. I said, listen, Arkansas is so bad, two of the water boys transferred. Wow, what a great time to be with you guys. A lot has changed over since Chase and Jocelyn were here, and now we're back. And I do travel the country. Matter of fact, tomorrow I'm headed to Nebraska. I'll be going to their football game next, which is nothing spiritual at all. But I'm just saying I'm going there. And I'm going to raise money for missions. So I'm doing a whole week of events there. So not only do I travel for men's, doing their conferences and retreats, I travel for missions and raise money for missions. How many know God has something in store for, I believe, these last days? And so I just want to be a part of that. Then I also travel and do church health stuff, recalibration. And I love this church. And everywhere I go, I talk about this church. And I was not just because Chase and Jocelyn were here. I was serious when I said I could come to this church if I lived just a little closer. And everywhere I go, whether it's Michigan or Mississippi, or you know, God has people from Oklahoma as missionaries there, and they're serving there, and they know about this church, and they know about your pastor, and so I talk about this church and recalibration, and when we're working with churches. And this is Pastor Appreciation Month, and you've got two of the finest pastors right here. I just got to tell you, all over the nation knows you. Thank you, Pastor Steve and Michelle, for all you've done and the investments you made into our family and my kids as well. This morning, I just want to talk to you for a little bit about this whole idea of wilderness, the idea of walking through a wilderness, why we go through a wilderness, what the purpose of the wilderness. There is a power that comes in a wilderness experience. It's measured by the opportunity to develop, the ability to grow, and the joy of passing the test. There's always a test in our life. There's always areas that God is taking us through and wanting us to grow through and grow in. August the 27th, 2018, just a little over a year ago, I found myself, my family found us, we were in a wilderness. It had just been 2 years since I had accepted the position I have in the National Men's Department. We had I had pastored 13 years in Texarkana, Texas. That was really most of my kids. That was what they remembered the most. Jathan, who's here with me this weekend, he remembers, that's really what he remembers. He doesn't remember the other town that he was born in. He remembers Texarkana. My children were raised there. Jocelyn, my daughter, she found her husband there, Chase. Many of you know him. And, you know, when you have daughters, I'm just starting to like him after 5 years. Now, if you have daughters, you understand what I'm talking. It's not that we dislike them. It's just they're our daughters. And I didn't mean to get into therapy right there. I'm sorry. But that's all we knew was Texarkana, my son. His brother and sister, that's all we knew about. I didn't realize that God had a plan for me. It's funny how, you know, we don't understand what God's doing in our life, but when we look back, we're like, oh, okay, I get it now. I didn't realize that 2 years for me being there that I would go through one of the most dramatic wilderness experiences I'd ever been through in my whole life. August the 27th, 2018, I'd actually had just left West Texas Men's Retreat Conference, and I was headed back on that Sunday. August the 27th was a Monday, and I went into the office, and I was there, and I had just walked to the credit union and to put money in Jathan's account because he's a college student and he needs money, and so I was putting it in there. I'd been working on a discipleship project on the Gospel of John. We have 34 lessons in the Gospel of John, totally downloadable that you can work through, and all across the world they're doing that. I was speaking to the editor that was there, and he's from Arkansas, so he knew me from my Arkansas days when I'd pastored there, and that I was his counselor back when we could be called counselors. That's what I was, and so he thought that I was just kind of messing with him. You're like, oh man, you know, I don't want to do that, and that's not a good thing. We were just kind of going back and forth on that Monday, August the 27th. The next thing I know, I was having a conversation with him, and what I do remember is waking up, and I remember people all around me, and we have an EMT in the building, and they made their way up to the fourth floor, and it was at that time when he got there, that the EMT got there, that my pulse rate was up to a 24. He was over me saying, Brother White, Brother White, Brother White, are you okay, are you okay, are you okay? I had not a clue what had happened to me. I didn't know. I was one moment I was there, next minute I wasn't there. So the EMT comes up and he takes my pulse and he says to me, "You know, you need to go to the ER." Well, I wasn't trying to be this macho guy that didn't want to go to the ER. I agreed with him. I should go to the doctor. I'm cheap. And I didn't want to ride in an ambulance, and I said, I probably should go to the ER, but I'm going to drive myself. And he said, well, you know, we've already called the ambulance. Let's just see what they have to say. So they put all this stuff on me, and they hooked me up, and they checked me out. And by the time the ambulance got there, my heart rate had gone up into about 75. And he says to me, you need to go to the ER. And I said, you're probably right, but I don't want to ride in the ambulance. And so he said, well, yeah, you're going to ride in the ambulance. I said, well, I don't want to ride in the ambulance because I'm cheap, and I don't want to pay what you're going to charge for me to go ride in an ambulance. And he said, well, that's the only way you're going to go is go in the ambulance. I said, all right, I guess I'll go. So I get on that little gurney that's not made for boys like me, and they take me down the freight elevator. I don't know what that says about me, but anyway, that's another whole thing. The freight elevator. I'm like, really? I'm already. By this time, I'm doing well. My color's back and all this stuff is there. And I'm texting Renata. Some of you have met her, Jocelyn's mom. I'm texting her on the way to the hospital. I don't know what's wrong with me. Everything's fine. Oh, there's Taco Bell where we go. Oh, there's the pizza place that we go and get. Man, this is pretty cool. Riding backwards. Never been. I mean, this is what I'm texting her. I mean, this is where I am. The wilderness is an interesting place. You were at a certain place, but you're not at that place anymore. You stepped out, and now you're headed into a new place, and you're in an unfamiliar place. And every time we go to an unfamiliar place, that's a wilderness. Some of you in this room right now are in a wilderness. The good news is that God has given you and I examples for us to follow so we can navigate through our wilderness experience. When you begin to read in the Bible, it doesn't take you long to find out and discover that there are many persons who spent many a time in the wilderness. Abraham, David, Elijah, Jesus, they're all there. You're in a wilderness, and you go from what was normal. You thought everything was all right, and everything was just kind of normal this way, and now all of a sudden there's a new normal in your life. And when you have a new normal in your life, it's that place for a season that is known as a wilderness. Oftentimes, wilderness comes after a time of great victory. If you have your Bibles or you have your smartphones, I want you to go to Luke chapter 4. I want to show you something here. Jesus goes into the River Jordan. He gets accommodation from his heavenly Father. He's launched into a new dimension of ministry. But immediately, the Bible says that Jesus is led into the wilderness. It says, Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, if you underline in your Bible or circle or highlight, you ought to circle that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. you know, somewhere we've gotten in our theology that if we are believers and we're Christians, we know that we're in the will of God and we know everything is going well in our life by how much happiness we have, or how much joy that we have, or how much prosperity or blessings or fullness are in our life. The truth is, there are times where the Holy Spirit will lead us into the wilderness. God is more concerned with fulfilling His purpose and destiny in our life than He ever is with our comfort. And so God uses the wilderness times of our life, that place where we're in a new normal now, we're trying to figure all this stuff out, as an opportunity to test our faith, as a training school. He is preparing us for the place that He is taking us. As a matter of fact, if you take notes, and I want you to write three words down, and and I'm going to take you one at a time. Why do we go? What is the purpose of the wilderness? And then how can we thrive in the wilderness? And the first purpose of the wilderness, write this down, is for testing. Everybody say testing. There's an interesting verse of Scripture in James chapter 1 and verse 2. Or at least to me it's interesting. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Are you serious? Are you kidding me? I mean, really, read that. Maybe I'm the only one that reads the Bible this way, but consider it pure joy? Right? Seriously. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. See, in the wilderness, faith becomes the bottom line crucial issue that God's going to. And James says, consider it pure joy. Just consider it joy. Like, I ought to just be glad that I'm going through this testing period in my life. Really? That's what I'm supposed to do. Here's what I know is coming up on the screen. A faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. So whatever we go through, God takes us through things so that we can help others around us. He takes us through things so that when people come into our life, we understand what people have gone through and are going through. I want to hang around people that understand what I'm going through. My whole life, my whole life has been summed up in one four-letter word, diet. I mean, Renata, when she married me, it wasn't for better or for worse. It was through thick and thin. I mean, because I've been thick a whole lot more than I've been thin, but it's through thick and thin. And when that little 110, 15-pound girl tries to tell me how to diet, I just want to look at her and go, get thee behind me right now. I mean, you don't have a clue what it's like to just say no to Swiss cake rolls. You don't have a clue what it's like to say no to Bluebell ice cream. I mean, you just don't know the struggle that's there. A faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. And God takes us through tests so that we can discover the reality of our faith. He takes us through tests so that we can understand the genuineness of our faith. Kind of reminds me of a glass. When you go to the store or go to a restaurant, even in just a few moments when you go, and you're going to get you a glass, or maybe you serve yourself, and you put ice and a soda in that, and the foam that just rises to the top, and you're thinking, man, my cup is full, it's running over. But if you let it set there for just a little while, all that froth and fizzle, it just begins to settle down, and you see exactly how much drink you really have. That's what happens in the testing of our faith. You leave from a worship service like today. You leave from a worship service like today singing, "Holy, there is no one like you." You're singing and you're worshiping God and you're praising God. Oh, that's true, God. There is nobody that's like you. There is none that's like you. And the excitement is there. And you walk out these doors. You get in your car and boom, there's the wilderness. It's in the tests of the wilderness that your faith becomes developed and strengthened. There's another interesting verse of Scripture where Peter talks about it. Faith in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. If you want to turn there, it's coming on the screen. It says, "In all this, in all of what? In all of your trials, in all of your troubles, in all of your challenges, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while." Circle that phrase, "a little while." Highlight it, underline it. "You may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." When you go through the wilderness, where some of you are in today, it's the good news is it's just for a little while. It's just for a season. You're coming out of that wilderness at some point. You're coming out of that wilderness at some season. Here's the problem is that God's little while and your little while aren't the same. Because I've had a conversation with God, and I've said to God, listen, my little while is not the same as your. It's been a little while, God. I've read your book, and you said you're only going to leave me there a little while. And God says, oh, no. My little while is not over with you yet. And he keeps me in that season of wilderness for just a little while. I said, God, how long am I going to be here? And he says, a little while, just a little while. Well, God, I understand what that means now. Kind of like when your kids ask you how much longer till we get there in just a little while. Yeah, it means kind of that same thing. You're going to go driving through that journey. Peter says that our faith is tested like gold is tested by fire. Gold is an alloy that sometimes has other elements in it. And the only way that you can know the purity of gold is to run it through the fire. And what is truly gold will remain. There will be a genuineness to it. And it's through our testing and our difficulties in our faith that you and I develop this genuine faith. August the 27th, 2018. My family, my faith was tested in the wilderness like it never had been. Suddenly out of nowhere, my family and me are facing a wilderness. The last sight that Renata had of me, my wife had of me before I had surgery, was a nurse sitting on top of me doing compressions on my chest because I had coded two times. Our faith was tested that day. God uses the wilderness to test us. But the second word I want you to write down is I want you to write this word down, train, because God uses the wilderness to also train us. Not just to test us, but to train us. Why am I going through this? Somewhere we've gotten our theology that if we're believers and Christians, we don't have to go through this kind of stuff. I'm just here to tell you that there are times we go through this stuff. It is in the wilderness that God does some of his best work in our life. It is in the wilderness that God does spiritual transformation in our life. It's in the wilderness where we can slow down and we get slowed down that God does his deepest and most profound work in our life. The children of Israel had been in Egypt for 400 years. Egypt's greatest commodity is the Nile River. Around the Nile River, there's blossoms, it's beautiful, it has thick vegetation. And the children of Israel, God said, I'm going to take you to another land. I'm taking you to a land that is also abundant. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. In between the two abundant lands, in between Egypt and in between Israel, is the wilderness. It's a barren land. It's a forsaken land. God is taking them through the wilderness for a purpose. Not only is God wanting to deliver Israel out of Egypt, but God wants to deliver Egypt out of Israel. The Israelites have been saturated in Egyptian culture. They thought like Egyptians. They live like Egyptians. They walk like Egyptians. There ought to be a song about that. Oh. God wanted them to take them through the wilderness to show them how to live. Remember the Ten Commandments. This is how I want you to live. I want to train you and I want to teach you. He gave them the tabernacle where his presence was with them. And you know what the Israelites did instead of coming to God? They rebelled against God. They rebelled against the leadership of God. They end up staying in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, this might be the most important thing that I'm going to tell you all day. You may want to take your phone out, take a picture of this, write this down. It's coming up on the screen. How long you're in the wilderness is not determined by God. It's determined by you. How long you're in the wilderness is not determined by God. It's determined by you. Because God's going to make sure your training is complete before you get out of the wilderness. So you know what my prayer would be? My prayer would be, God, I want to know what I'm supposed to be knowing so I can get out of this wilderness. God, I want out of this place right now. Here's something that's interesting. Jesus says in John 15:2, he cuts off every branch that in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. Now, I want you to hear me this morning. Some of you are not in the wilderness because you've done something wrong. We equate the wilderness with doing something wrong. I must be in here because I've done something wrong. I must be in this place in this season because I've done something wrong in my life. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says you may be in the wilderness because God wants to prune you. And He wants to just take away some things. It's during the pruning time that God seems to be this strict disciplinarian. Now turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. There's two words I want to show you there, and I want you to look at those, and I want you to get this. It says in verse 11, there's two words I want you to circle. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Isn't that the truth? You know, my mom used to lie to me all the time. She used to say, it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Well, you're not the one with tears down your face. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. I want you to circle that word discipline, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I want you to circle the word trained. When you see the word discipline, most of the time what you think of is punishment. I must be in the wilderness because I'm being punished. As a matter of fact, the holiness movement became, the holiness movement is a result. All the rules that we grew up with was a result of us, if we could just make ourselves good enough, then good things would happen in our life. And we've extrapolated that into our theology, where we think, well, if I'm going through something, then it must be because I did something wrong. It's a punishment for what I've done. But punishment's not the meaning of the Greek word here. The Greek word that's used here for discipline is paideia, P-I-D-I-A. It's where we get the word pediatric, pediatrician. So if I were to say the word discipline to you, what comes to your mind? Is it punishment or is it pediatric, which is nurture or develop? I mean, I don't think most of the time when we think of discipline, we don't think of nurture and development. That's exactly what God is doing to you and me as His children. He is developing us. He is taking and He is working in us. He is developing us in our hearts, in our life. Listen, I got to tell you, when we are in the wilderness times, that's when God does His deepest work in us. When we are in the wilderness, that's when God begins to take and He begins to do stuff inside of us that takes the wilderness for Him to do inside of us. Maybe you're in the wilderness right now. I don't know of anybody that's been in the wilderness that says, I really enjoy this place. This is the place that I really want to just camp out and just live here because this is so much fun. You'd rather be anywhere else. You don't want to be there. But the wilderness, it's coming on the screen for you, is fertile ground for your growth and transformation. So discipline, think of the word pediatric, when you are walking through that. And the second word is the word trained I had you to circle. Now, I don't mean to use so many Greek words, but the Greek word for train is significant for us. It's the Greek word gymnos, where we get the word gymnasium. This word was specifically used for athletes who were training for an event. Whatever their sport, they had to do things to prepare for that. Whatever it was, they had to do it. So if you don't train, you don't accomplish what you could have accomplished. So you've got to train. Whether it's football or baseball, you've got to train. Whether it's golf, whether it's volleyball, what you've got to train. You got to keep training, and you keep training, and you keep training, and you keep training so you can become better at this. I've had a lot of significant dates in my life. Significant times in my life. November 1976 was also an incredible, incredible month in my life. November 1976. I know 1976 was the bicentennial year. I get all that. But how many were here in November 1976? Yeah, you know, how many? Come on, raise your hand up out there. Can I see? Yeah, okay. That was an incredible month right there. It was, I mean, next to my salvation, next to my graduation, next to my wedding date, next to my three kids being born, next to my three three grandsons being born. I mean, this is an incredible date in my life. November 1976. November 1976 was the year, was the month that Rocky One came out. I mean, I was mesmerized. I was mesmerized by this out of shape, over the hill has been, who was now training for the heavyweight championship of the world. If you saw the movie, you'll remember that his training regimen consisted of drinking raw eggs for breakfast. He's running, he is sparring, he is weight training. And out of that two-hour movie, there comes a clip about 2 minutes and 45 seconds that is one of the most inspirational clips that I've ever seen. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, he's training for the fight. He's going up against Apollo Creed, and now he is running through the streets of Philadelphia picking up steam. He is going, and he is booking. I mean, you see him all 2 minutes and 45 seconds. I mean, they're showing these clips. He's hitting that speed bag. You know, it's just making that noise. And he is just going, and he is going after it. He's doing one-arm push-ups. I didn't want to show off. I was going to show you some of that today, but I didn't want to show. I mean, you know those one-arm push-ups. Ugh. I mean, he's going after that, and he goes into, remember the meat locker? I mean, what a scene. There's sides of beef, and he's punching the sides of beef, and man, they are going. And then he's running up the steps of the Museum of Art in Philadelphia, and it's just going, and the music is there, and it's getting strong now, gonna fly now. I mean, he's up there and he's just doing that stuff, and I'm just like, wow, this is incredible. And the next morning I thought, if that old out of shape boxer can train that way, then this high school freshman, oh yeah, I can do it as well. So I determined I was going to get up early and start my training regimen, and I did. I got up at the crack of 9. And I cracked some eggs, just like Rocky. I mean, I cracked them with one hand, just like he did. I put them in a glass, just like Rocky. Oh, yeah, something, you know, you get a teenage boy seeing this kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I drink it, just like Rocky. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to transform. I mean, Rocky went from a flabby, over-the-hill boxer and contender in less than 2 hours on the movie screen, and now this freshman in high school is ready to go. I'm inspired. I did a couple hundred push-ups that day. Took me all day. I did about 10 at a time, but I'm pumping iron. I'm swinging my arms. I'm ready to go until the next morning. I could barely get out of bed. My song, my theme song was, I'm not feeling strong now. I'm not going to fly now. I'm going to stay in bed all day now. Why? Because it didn't feel like that workout built me up, but it tore me down. And that's exactly how some of you feel in God's gym right now. God, I don't know what I'm going through, and I don't know the situation I'm in and why I'm going through all this stuff. God, why am I here? And what I know now that I didn't know in high school is when I work out, it tears down my muscles so that when I rest, it builds my muscles up. All I knew as a freshman in 1976 was that my muscles hurt. But if I were to come back and I were to continue to work out on a consistent basis, then I would develop and I would grow and I get stronger. See, in the wilderness, some of you are there now and you feel broken. You feel like, you know what, Jimmy, I just can't keep going on anymore. But if you'll hang on, in the end, you come out stronger with a genuine proven faith that God says is more precious than gold. August 27, 2018 was a time that my family entered into a training phase that we had not been in. We were surrounded by our friends, we were surrounded by our family, and most importantly, we were surrounded by our God. It's in the wilderness that God takes moments like these, and he stretches us to muscle fatigue in order that we can come out stronger for him. First, God uses the purpose of the wilderness is to test us, then it's to train us. And the third word I want you to write down is prepare. God is at work in us, training us, developing us to prepare us for a purpose. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I don't care how insignificant you feel your life is, here's what I want to tell you today. God wants to do a significant work in you and through you. But in order for God to accomplish that, there are times he has to take you and me through the wilderness. I want to tell you one more story, and then we're going to pray. David was a young man who was anointed to be king of Israel by the prophet Samuel. Remember David? Everything's going well. David's dad sends his son, sends David up to the front lines to take his brother some cheese whiz and crackers. You remember that? Well, that's my interpretation. Took him some food. He goes over there and everything is going well. And, you know, it's like Goliath comes out and does his big thing, you know, and whoever, you know, there's Goliath. And remember that the Bible says that David defeated Goliath. Remember that? Takes those five stones and he takes those and he kills Goliath. He takes off his head and he's holding that. I mean, there's a trophy that is there. People are cheering for it. Like, yeah, David, yeah. It's a great victory for David. It's probably one of the greatest victories David ever had in his life. Saul is cheering for him until he realizes that the people love David more than him. And Saul says, you know what, I can't have that in my kingdom. So he starts chasing after David, and David flees for his life. He runs for his life. Remember where David runs to is to the cave of Adullam. Here's what I want you to see on this picture. This picture that's here, this is actually the valley where David would have defeated God. This is a picture from Israel. One of the other things I do is lead tours to Israel. So this is the actual valley. And the cave of Adullam is right there. Here's what I want you to see with that picture. Here's what I want you to get in that picture. Every morning, David had to get up and he had to look at the place of his greatest victory. He had to look at the place where his greatest victory occurred. I can only imagine that David had to get up and say something like this: God, remember when you did that in my life? God, you remember when I took down Goliath right there, God? How come I'm in this cave now? How come I'm hiding? How come I'm fleeing now, God? How come that's happening in my life? God, why am I in the cave? When right there, God, right there is my victory. Right there was where I saw you move. Right there is where I saw you defeat Goliath. Right there. And I wonder if David had to learn his wilderness lesson, so that when he came out of the wilderness, God could say, now you can be the king. Now, many of you don't have a wilderness like this where you can point to and say, this is the place. But you do have a picture in your house that reminds you of the greatest accomplishment you've ever had. Or a plaque, or a yearbook, or a photo. Or you have something that is there. Maybe it's a journal that you open up and read, or maybe it's a timeline on your Facebook that comes up and you're thinking, God, you gave me this prophetic word 6 years ago, 7 years ago, 20 years ago, and now, God, all I see is the wilderness. All I can see, I'm living in the wilderness, but all I can see is the place of my greatest victory. And you're wondering here today, will I ever get to come out of my cave? Will I ever get to come out of my wilderness? And will I ever get to walk in the victory that God had for my life again? August 27, 2018. I had told the doctors, I had told the nurses what had happened to me. I was explaining this. The next thing I know, I woke up with wires all over me, a defibrillator on me. I told you already the last picture my wife had seen of me. I didn't realize what was going on. But when you go through the wilderness, it causes you to do things that you don't sometimes you don't even know how to react in this place. On August the 27th, the doctor came into my room and he said, Mr. White, in the midst, exact words, in the midst of your wilderness, I've got some good news. Number one, we know what's wrong with you. You have an electrical block in your heart and it's not functioning properly. Number two, you don't have to wear one of those little things for a month for us to figure out that you have an electrical block in your heart. And number three, because of your episode, you get bumped to the front of the line. August the 27th, 2018, I entered into my wilderness. It's been a year. I would like to tell you that August the 28th, 29th, I came out and mentally I was ready, spiritually I was ready. I had all this stuff. Man, I was ready to conquer. I'd like to tell you that. It's been a year, that process, and I'm still not totally sure where I am. But here's what I know. However God chooses to use you and me, we have to go through the wilderness because that's His training ground where God prepares us and makes us into the man or woman of God that He wants us to be. And when you come out of the wilderness, when you come out, your character will be developed. You will have a genuine faith, and there'll be an anointing of the Holy Spirit like you've never seen or experienced. But you can only experience that when you come through the wilderness. God uses the wilderness to test us. He uses the wilderness to train us. And then He uses the wilderness to prepare us.